You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So today, we come to an intersection of several points which are significant to us as a congregation and indeed to the church universal. Firstly, we come to the end of our series on John's book of the Revelation, which was given to him by Messiah Jesus on the Isle of Patmos while he was in exile there. Long time ago, during the reign of the Roman Emperor Domitian, that was between 81 and 96 AD. Secondly, we've arrived at a place in the church calendar where we celebrate Jesus' ascending to his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father. It's from there that he intercedes for you and for me as our great high priest. And it's from there that he will come in all of his glory to retrieve his church and ultimately come a second time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule and to reign forever. And thirdly, we begin next Sunday with the season of Pentecost, where we celebrate the arrival of the Holy Spirit who was sent in Jesus' name to guide the new church and its mission and ministry in the world. A lot of convergence taking place today, convergence of ideas and concepts of biblical proportions, an intersection of the wisdom and power of God with all of creation, where the grace and the mercy of God collide in this beautiful collision with the fallen and the broken world. Thanks be to God. You didn't know all that was going on this Sunday morning when you got up, did you? It happens behind the scenes, but it's always happening. We forget sometimes because we get so immersed in what goes on in the world that we forget that that is not our priority as the children of God. This morning, we turn in our Bibles to the 22nd chapter of Revelation. And we begin with verse 12, where one final time Jesus himself announces, "See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work." So when you read that verse, you should pay attention. In no uncertain terms, Jesus tells us that he is the one who brings the reward and the consequences for everyone and the work they have done or failed to do. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand. I want to be absolutely clear. Jesus is not talking about your salvation here. Salvation is not at all about the work we do or fail to do. Salvation is about relationship with Jesus Christ. Do we choose him as Lord and Savior or not? Do we believe him died, buried, resurrected or not? Those are the essentials of salvation. These rewards and consequences that Jesus speaks of here are concerning what we do with the salvation that we have been given. Once we experience the saving grace of God, everything we do or we fail to do from that point on is counted unto us as reward or is taken from us as loss. In other words, we are held accountable for our actions and for what we do with the grace that we have been given. Do we treat others with compassion? Do we give from what we have been given? Do we love our neighbors as ourselves? And do we understand that everyone is indeed a neighbor? Everyone. Jesus then tells us what he said many times throughout this revelation. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus declares that he and he alone is the one in whom all things begin, and he is the one in whom all things have their ending. See, the word there for last there is eschatos. It's a Greek word. It's the root word for eschatology, which is the study of last things or end times. So Jesus then declares that he is the one who will bring all things to their final conclusion. Very simply, Jesus is the judge. Turn to somebody next to you and say, Jesus is the judge. Everything that I just said, that's what it means. I probably should have just started there. Now, verse 14 gives us a blessing and a curse. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. And now the curse. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. See, the washing of the robes is a recognition that the spirits of all people are contaminated by sin. Now, this is overcome once again by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. Not only is the one who has his robe washed clean and blessed, such a happening also enables him to have a right to the tree of life so that he never dies and he is given access through the gates into the city and into the presence of God himself. The curse of condemnation follows for those who are left on the outside of the holy city. These are they who refused to wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. These are the ones that are confined to the lake of fire. They don't have access to the tree of life. They cannot enter through the gates of the city. They're described as dogs. Those who practice magic arts, those who are sexually immoral, those who are murderers, idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood, those are condemned because of their unwillingness to bend a knee to the Lord Jesus, to the lake of fire. Now, verse 16, Jesus speaks again and says, it is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. See, Jesus is the ultimate author of Revelation. He's given this book to John through a vision. It's come to him through angelic messengers, and he identifies himself to John as both the root and the offspring of David, and also as the bright morning star. Now, how can he be both the root of David and the offspring of David? It's interesting. See, as the root of David, Jesus is the one from whom David himself came and to whom David owes his very existence and his purpose. As the offspring of David, Jesus became human in the incarnation and was born to the lineage of David, as was prophesied by the prophets, made possible by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. See, the bright morning star is a reference to hope. To the hope that people have only in Christ. And as Scripture tells us, that hope comes by way of mourning. Hope always comes in the morning. The bright morning star of hope, Jesus Christ, who dawns a new day every day for his creation. So after all that is said and done, in verse 17, we're given an invitation. It's a special invitation. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. Who's the bride? Who's the bride? Turn to somebody and say, I'm the bride. I'm the bride. The bride is the church. The church is invited to join in the chorus with the Spirit of God and say, come. The church is invited to extend the invitation. Ever invite yourself to a party? Some people call it crashing, but in Scripture, you're invited to invite, right? Invited to come. The church is invited to join in the chorus with the Holy Spirit of God and say to those who will hear, come. That word is both an invitation and a mandate. Whoever wishes can partake of the free gift of the water of life, but also, because it's a command, we dare not refuse to accept the free gift. To reject the gift of eternal life through Jesus is to reject life itself and results in an eternity of separation from God, which is what we commonly refer to as hell. And so as the chapter ends, we receive a warning. How do I know it's a warning? Because it says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in the book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. That's quite a warning. Add to the books and you get the plagues. Take away from the words of the prophecy and you get taken out of the book of life. Pretty stern consequences. And then in verse 20, the one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So important is this prophetic word from Messiah Jesus that we're told not to add to it or take away from it so that the integrity of the vision can be passed down through all generations so that everyone has the opportunity to know and to act accordingly. Jesus himself is the one who testifies to the truth of the words. And we're given one more final promise from Jesus. Surely, I am coming soon. Amen. Surely means certainly, truthfully, absolutely, I am coming soon. And then amen, it's a word we use a lot. What does it mean? It means, so be it. So it is written, so it will be done. Surely, certainly, I am coming soon, so be it. And then finally, in verse 21, we're reminded by John of an eternal promise from Jesus Messiah. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. See, John prays for you and for me and all believers everywhere that what God promises us through Jesus Christ, the gift of grace, that gift would continue for each of us now and always. So be it. In just a little bit in this worship service, we will be passing these truths on to little Sunny through her parents and through her sponsors, Tess and Tom. How important is it that we baptize her in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit so that she might have an opportunity when she becomes old enough to learn and understand that she might be able to choose for herself a relationship with Jesus Christ that is the gateway to all of these promises that we have just read. And so it continues on and on and on until Jesus comes again. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.